Welcome to A Pixie from Kilmarnock, a program about the people, places, and history of the Northern Neck. I'm your host, Pixie E. Curry. In 1969, Brookville High School, a segregated black school in Lancaster County, Virginia, won the state Group 2 District 4 baseball championship. Members of the team included Melvin Harris, William Lee, Bradell Thompson, Wilbur Lee, Elwood Henderson, Frank Carter, Donald Saunders, Theodore Thomas, Moselle Carter, Wardell Carter, Stanley Gaskins, Dean Nickens, Ronald Smith, Stanley Fauntleroy, Irvin Coleman, James Carter, Jesse Davenport, and Wardell Vinnie. The head coach was Maurice Savoy. Assistant coaches were Richard Ruffin and Walter Webb, and manager Maurice Jones. I would like to introduce you to Jesse Davenport, a member of that team. April of 2021, the Brookville team was finally recognized for their achievements. I interviewed Jesse that following May of 2021.
Jesse J. Davenport, born in 1952, Lancaster County.
What part of Lancaster?
Nutsville.
There's a game on Facebook, is the strangest names that you have ever heard from small towns. And Nutsville made the cut.
I'm sure it did.
It made the cut. Jesse, what is your present occupation?
I'm retired. I was working for this company called Best Way, a rent-to-own type business. Go out, pick up payments, and if the people didn't have the money, I had to merchandise.
Mm-hmm. That's a tough position to be in. You're doing your job, but you're bleeding inside. You went to Brookville High School. What was your what was the first school that you went to? Your elementary.
Okay, I went to New Molar School. That's down in Molas, Virginia. I went there from the first grade to the seventh grade, and then graduated from seventh grade, and then you go to Brookville. And Brookville had from the first grade to the 12th grade, but when I left Molas, I was going to the eighth grade, and from the eighth grade to the 10th grade. And when I passed to be a junior, we integrated.
What was your first job?
Mm-hmm. Oof. My first job, I guess I would say picking tomatoes, helping the farmers, you know, pick tomatoes and hauling hay, you know, just some stuff to put a little bit of money in my pocket. And most of the kids in the community was doing the same thing, you know, picking tomatoes or pulling weeds out of fields and everything. But that was about it.
Who were some of your favorite teachers?
My coach Savoy. Really, to tell you the truth, I liked all of my teachers. Miss Cassidy, Patricia Taylor, my principal, Mr. Smith. You know, he was like just about a father figure. You know, because he didn't play. he did not play. And when I see him now, I tell him, you did not play. And he always, you know, like when you skip class, and I'm sure that everybody done did that. When you skip class and you hide out in the bathroom, and, you know, and when he's walking down the hall, he had a set of keys that he'd be jingling all the time. And he would let you know he's coming. So whatever you're doing wrong,
you better tighten up.
I'm telling you, you better tighten up, and you better have an excuse for being in that bathroom during class hours. Yes, sir. He did not play. No, he did not. It was learning time.
Mm-hmm. Who were some of the people that motivated you?
Oh, let's see. My father, for one. My father and my mother, you know, when you're growing up in a community, Everybody's your father. Everybody's your mother. If you're doing wrong and you're out somewhere, and like, let's say my neighbor would see me doing wrong. By the time I got home, my mother knew. Oh, she knew. So there's no use lying about it. She knew. And not only, you know, like nowadays, you know, you're not supposed to, I'm going to say beat your kids, but like it wasn't, you know, they didn't draw blood or nothing. You know, it's just, you know, you just got to, you did wrong. So like,
you got a whipping.
You got a whipping, you know, nowadays, you know, parents will go to jail for that. The only beatings that I got was from my father. All he had to do was drive in the yard. whatever you were doing, my mother would say, your father's home. Everything would stop. Everything. You would almost stop breathing because when he walk up in there, because like I tell my cousins now, I say, look, our fathers worked hard. Some guys went out in the woods cutting logs and everything. And my father's arms was just as big as my leg. Now he come in that house, everything stopped. That's it. If you was doing wrong, you stopped it. And all he never put a hand on me. Never had to. All he had to do was look at you. And that was it. That was the ball game. Things stopped. Whatever you was doing, I mean, if you were doing wrong, whatever you were doing wrong, it stopped right there.
Mm-hmm.
But my mother used to lay it on me, though.
Oh, yeah. We're not going to
go down. No. Go down in the woods and get me a switch right now, and it better be a big one. Because if it was too small, she'd send you back. Go get another one. What, you yell at your mother and father if you want?
And still
oh, no,
have
that
teeth?
Didn't go. What? That did not go. Uh-uh. I see these kids now, I'm like, I ain't going to do it. You ain't going to do what? And you figure that, you know, like, because, you know, like, I always try to make a joke of it, but like, all my cousins, you know, like, all the fathers used to work together. And they used to say, tell me, daddy get home, he looking all mad. I said, well, he walking out and he saw you to see a house full of ugly kids. I get mad too. And of course, I would have to run.
Yeah, somebody was on you.
So, oh, yes, believe me.
How many sisters did you have?
Three sisters, Elsie, Murray, and Joyce Ann.
I only ask because I know the girls ran after you the hardest and the longest to whoop up on their butt. You talking about ugly.
A house full of ugly kids. Who wants to come home to that? Oh, after you don't work hard all day.
You're too funny. Too funny. The one huge, huge achievement of about Brookvale, you know, not only those teachers that you was mentioning, Ms. Patricia Taylor, Ms. Barbara Smith, Mr. Hearn, Mr. and Mrs. Boyer, Ms. Ernestine.
I forgot all about Mr. Hearn.
Yeah.
Mrs.
Ernestine Bird, and like you said, Dr. Elton Smith. They were outstanding teachers. You know,
yes,
we don't even think about those people because you were a kid. And, you know, you was expected, like you said, it's learning time. 1969, Brookvale won the baseball championship.
That was the year.
And you were part of that.
Yes, ma'am. And I, you know, like when we won it, we were all young. You know, like all we knew was that we had won the state championship. Everybody knew that we won it. So, like, we didn't think too much about it, but like now, you know, like Black Lives Matter, and we had told my pastor at church about it. He had heard about it, and he was wondering why they didn't do anything. I said, man, at that time, we was just glad that we had won it.
What grade were you in, and what was your position?
I was in 10th grade, and I was number 16. And what it was, I went out for first base, but we already had a good first baseman. But I could hit, being big and everything. I was slow. You know, I could play ball, but I was slow. So he said, "Well, I need your bat in the lineup." So he put me in right field. You know, like, didn't too many balls come out right field. And that's how I started. He came to me and he told me that, you know, he got a first baseman, but I'm going to put you in right field because I need your bat in the lineup. And we went from there.
When did you start, you know, training? And was it tryouts or did you, you know, was there so many people that come out and try for the team?
We had a lot of guys come out. Well, like everybody that went out for the team, he wasn't gonna stop nobody from playing. I mean, like everybody was gonna be on the team. We started practicing. Well, really, the weather was bad at the time, so we really started practicing in the gym, and that was about, I guess, the last of March. And then when the weather got better, we went on outside. But I think we started playing games in April. We had our new uniform. I don't know how they got the new uniform, but we had new uniforms. I said, I done made the team. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The first year that you were on the team was the year that y'all won the state championship.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's a real accomplishment. Yeah. Sophomore too.
We had a good team, and the main thing about it is most of the players came from Nutsville. Most of them, we were all cousins and stuff, and you know, like, we used to play ball either against each other or with each other, you know, from day one, because, like, you know, like, all the kids get together and you play ball, and we kind of knew each other. We had played together and against each other for so long that we knew each other. And about six or seven of us came from Nutsville. And then, you know, like, you had some guys from Weems, you know, the rest of them came from down the county. At a May Day, that was really the main thing, you know, the game. And it just so happened that at our May Day that year, we played Central. You know where Central is.
I went to Central.
Northumberland.
I went to Central.
I know, because, like, we were big rivals.
That's what I know. Northumberland,
yeah,
Lancaster.
We were big rivals. Yes, and we played them at their May Day, and the following Saturday, they had to come to our May Day. And it was crowds of people just waiting for the game.
Yes, indeedy. That was the main event.
That was the main event?
Neighborhood team, y'all, and became another team, the school team.
Yeah.
What were the things that helped to make all of y'all to be a team? I mean, there was these individual stars, really.
Yeah, but the main thing was, it wasn't I, it was we. We were a team, and, you know, and did not want to lose. We did not see at that time, you know, like you had football and you had basketball, but at that time, baseball was the game. You know, everybody wanted to play baseball. And, you know, like, you know, Coach Savoy said, you know, like, it was Coach Savoy, Coach Ruffin, and Coach Webb. Coach Webb died about 3 years ago. I think it was about 3 years ago. And, you know, they just, you know, like, we had the talent, but we just had to have somebody to get us together. And, you know, like, they got us together, and one of his favorite things was, you know, like, hit a ground ball to somebody, and the guy would miss the ball, or the ball would hit him in his chest. He'd yell out, "Beat him, ball, beat him, beat him." Yeah. But they showed us a lot, and they really taught us how to be a team. Coach Savoy, as far as I'm concerned, I had a problem with curveballs. And he stopped one day. He said, "Jesse, come here." And he said, what are you doing when that ball comes? I mean, are you watching the ball?" I said, "No, I was see the pitcher had a motion and would mess you up. See, would take your mind off of watching the ball, and you'd be looking at him." So he told me, "Just watch the ball. Don't worry about the pitcher. Don't worry about what he do." And that's how I started. I could hit the curve. I could always hit a fastball, but the curveball always gave me problems. And they used to say, "Just watch the ball. Watch the ball." And you know, like when you're playing, you know, like if a guy come up and get out, you know, like you wouldn't get mad at him. You know, just next time you'll get him next time. And they just gave us encouragement. You know, don't be down on yourself. You'll get him next time. And that's how it went. That's how it went. And we had good players, and they listened to the coach. They didn't know, act like they knew everything. They listened to the coach. I think that really that it was just our year, because, like, everything fell into place. Everything fell into place. Big hitters and everything. And you see that fence. You're going to go for that fence. So I can hit across that fence. But the thing is, when you got a man on base and you got to move him over or try to bring him in, you know, just hit the ball. It'll go somewhere, you know, and hopefully it'll be in an opening where the guy can score, and you know, like, or else if he don't score, you know, you've moved him around closer to where he can score. You know, don't be trying to kill the ball. You know, although, like, you know, you can hit hard and everything, but, like, don't try to kill the ball. You know, just make contact.
Tell me about the championship season. The teams that you played and going right up to the finals. Tell me about getting there.
Okay, I can tell you. Okay, let me see. The first game we played A.C. Johnson, the best of the Montreal. They came to us, and we won that game. We won that. I'm trying to remember the score. I think we beat them 7-6 that game. The following week, because we played a game every week, the following week we had to go to them. They beat us 9-3. Okay. Now, at that time, we were 1-1. We didn't really come together until the third game. The third game, we had a scrimmage game against Lancaster High School. You know, and you know, now that I look back at it, you know, on one side it was all black, on the other side it was all white. And the coach from Lancaster, who was at that time was Coach Boyd Kidd, I think it was. You know, like, usually when a game starts, you throw in a new ball. He would not throw in a new ball. All we played with was balls that they had been practicing with. Because a new ball, when you hit a new ball, oh, it'll go. And like, when we first got there and we had batting practice, they saw how hard we could hit. I think that's why he didn't throw in a new ball. But anyway, we beat them 5-4. But that's when things started coming together. Because the following week, I think we played Richmond County. And we just mauled them. We beat them, I think, 15-1.
Ooh. Ooh.
Oh yes, we mauled them. Because, like, we had three good pitchers. We had William Lee, well, the Reverend William Lee now, Stanley Gaskin, and Moselle Carter. Moselle Carter could pitch too. And we had three good pitchers. but everybody on the team could hit. We could hit. We were dangerous. At that time, the way that we could hit and we were pitching, I think that we would have gave the New York Yankees a hard way to go.
There you go.
Yes, I do. Yes, I really do believe that. So then, you know, as the season went on, we beat Richmond County. Then we had to go to Essex. Okay, Essex came to us. And I'm going to tell you a story about that. Our biggest hitter, I told him that I was going to mention his name, James Carter. You know, he had got full of himself. You know, he was hitting the ball all over the place, you know, and like the day of the game, he had to wear a tie, shirt and tie. He said he wasn't going to wear no tie. I was like, okay. So the coach said, okay, tell you what, have a seat on the side. You ain't even got to put your uniform on. See, and he thought that without him, we were going to lose. Well, we won. And that kind of brought him around. Like I say, it's not an I team. It was a we team. We beat Essex that game. Then the following week, we had to go to them. We beat them there. Then it was May Day time. We went to Central. We played at their May Day. They beat us 5-4. The following week, they came to our May Day. We beat them 5-4. And the thing about that game is I hit a ball. The score was 3-3 at the time, and I hit a ball. And to this day, I don't know where it went.
It's still probably traveling. I don't know where it went.
All I know is that with all my weight and everything, anybody else would have made a home run. I made it to third base because I hit it. And I know I hit it. I just don't remember where it went. But we beat Central 5-4. The following weekend, we had to go to Richmond County's May Day. And that was the weekend that we won the district championship because we beat them, I think, 14-2. That was on a Saturday. So that Monday, when we went to school, Coach Savoy said that we had to go to play for the state championship. Well, we had no idea that we had won the district. We had no idea. So, like, I think it was that Tuesday evening, I think, you know, like, we didn't have no bus or anything. You know, like, guys just hopped in their cars, you know, they take a load. And it was about four or five cars went on up to Petersburg, and we had to stay overnight. And the game started the next day at 10 o'clock, I think, 10 o'clock in the morning. We played this team from, I think they were from Bowling Green. I could be wrong, but I think they were from Bowling Green. And they had a guy pitching. This guy was about, if you know anything about baseball, this guy was about 6'5".
Randy Johnson, who was 6'10".
Okay. I know he was tall.
Yes.
I love that guy was tall. But the thing was, see, most of the pitchers that we had seen that year came overhanded. This guy came side on, you know, side, and he was right-handed. And most of our hitters were right-hand batters. See, so by the time he let the ball go, the ball was right at you. And by him throwing side on, it looked like it would hit you. And you know, like, we were kind of nervous about that and everything. So it came down to we were the home team. It was the last of the seventh, and then the score was tied up 4-4. And our best hitters were coming up. You had the first guy to come up, he got out. So Frank Carter, the third hitter, he come up. He got on base. So his brother come up, James Carter, he came up, and he got on base. So it was my turn. And the coach came to me and said, he said, now, don't be nervous. Oh, I was scared to death. I was so nervous. I said, "Lord, have mercy." And he said, "Just do what you do." And the guy was pitching, and I think he got one strike on me. But what he messed up at is that instead of coming from the side like he was for the whole game, he came overhanded. He threw an overhanded fastball. And, you know, like when you're in a zone, like if you're playing basketball and you shoot the ball, it seems like the goal is so big that you can't miss the shot. So when he let the ball go, the ball looked as big as a basketball. And I hit it. To this day, I don't know where it went. But all I know is that when I crossed first base, the umpire said the game is over. So, you know, everybody ran out on the field and everything. And, you know, I didn't know that what I had done. But you know, like, well, we won the game. We won the game 5-4. And then we played this team from Caroline County, G.W. Watkins, I think. And we beat them 11-5, and that was it. We came home with the championship. yeah, but that was a good year. That was a good year. If the baseball scouts had come down here just looking for players, they would have found a bunch of them. They would have found, but the scouts never did come down this way.
That was the last year that Brookvale was Brookvale.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And they closed it, and like I said, we had freedom of choice. When we had that 1 year of free choice, what school did you decide to go to?
Well, I really, to tell you the truth, my mother had to say. She said, "Yeah, you going to Lancaster High School?" So I said, "Well, I got to go to Lancaster High School." Didn't want to go. I ain't gonna lie to you. I did not want to go. I wanted to stay at Brookvale. But, you know, they was integrating and they changed Brookvale over and we all had to go to Lancaster. Well, there was some people that went to other schools, but I went to Lancaster. Some people changed counties. They moved to Northumberland. Like I said, I didn't want to go to Lancaster High School because, like, I had never gone to school with white kids, you know, like I had played with them, you know, during, you know, when we was, you know, playing basketball or something, but I had never really gotten to know them. And, you know, like, and I don't know, it was just different times, 68. Lancaster did have some black people to that school. Mm-hmm. They had this one guy that played basketball, one black guy played basketball there. Really, he was the whole team. It wasn't many, but it was a few that went to Lancaster. Everybody wanted to stay at Brookvale. True, I still miss Brookvale. As far as I'm concerned, I graduated from Brookvale.
It's as you said, there was all of this great talent, and they weren't coming to, you know, small rural areas.
No.
And they weren't weren't coming to black schools.
No. Because, like, I started playing with the big boys, with the men, when I was about 12. They had some players then. I don't know if anybody ever heard of them, but you had some players down here that could. One of them, Roy Cox from Whitestone.
Mm-hmm.
He's that man could throw a ball. I mean, that man could pitch. And then you had guys like Marvin Moe, and they had this one guy from Northumberland, Junebug Hill. Called him Junebug Hill. This guy could play. If the scouts had come down this way, they would have found a lot of players. The only player that I know of, he lives in Warsaw. He played in the Chicago White Sox. He was on their farm team, Howard Wood. He played professional baseball. He said that he made it to the big team one time. I think he played for about 10 years, but he saw that he was getting older, and 9 times out of 10, he wasn't going to make it back up to the big team anymore, so that he went on and got out of baseball. But they missed out on a lot of good players, baseball and basketball. They missed out on a lot of good players. But I think that if if the coaches had known some people like in the organizations, you know, like they would have probably sent some down here. As far as I know, they never did. I think that Stanley Gaskins, I think that he got a call that wanted him to come and try out with the Baltimore Orioles, I think.
Yes, his brother told me that.
So he could pitch. Him and Will Lee, you know, those were our pitchers, you know, like, although Mozart could pitch too, but the main two was Stanley and Wim Lee. Them guys could throw. I said, I'm so glad I don't have to face them. Because them guys could throw. Yes, they could throw.
I have a picture of you and Stanley and Kenneth Boyd and I think it's Wilbur Lee, 70 or 71. It's only like eight of you. And it's clearly an integrated team. So that means that by this time, y'all are going to Lancaster.
Oh, okay. We went to Lancaster, and I didn't play the first year that we went, but I played my senior year. It's probably from my senior year.
What year is that?
That would have been 72. That would have been in 72, because I graduated June of 72.
When you got on the team, Were there changes? Were there differences from when you was on the Brooklyn team?
It was a big difference. It was the first year we went to Lancaster. I didn't play the first year, so I sat out the first year. The second year, after not playing baseball, you get kind of afraid of the ball, and that's kind of what happened to me. When I was at Brookville, I would stay right in that box because, you know, you got all the guys that you don't play with. Man, you scared of the ball. You running away from the ball. But when I got to Lancaster, like I said, like I sat out that first year, and I wasn't at my best. I was still good and everything, but not like I was down Brookville. Because, like, you know, down Brookville, you know, your cousins over there, man, you scared of the ball. You running away from the ball. But when I got to Lancaster, see, I didn't have nobody to do that. Different coaches. They got different ways of coaching. Really, to tell you the truth, I just didn't feel right about that team. And at that time, I didn't feel right about myself because I knew I was kind of afraid of the ball. I knew that I wasn't going to hit as good as I was. And I think the first game I played that was my last year was over to Northumberland. We played Northumberland. Yeah, it sure was. That was our first game over there, and in which I hit the ball pretty good. But as the year went on, my mind was really on graduating. And, you know, like, I had to hit the book. I just wasn't into it like I was when I was down in Brookville.
You are listening to an interview with Jesse Davenport, member of the 1969 State Baseball Championship team from Brookville High School of Lancaster County, Virginia. You was in the military also.
I was in the Marines 72 to 74. I only could sign up for 2 years because of my weight. At that time, you could sign up for 2 years and if you wanted to stay in. But I got out, I stayed out 9 months, and I went in the Army because I wanted to go overseas. Them fools sent me straight to Germany. I was over Germany for 2 years.
What did you like the most about Germany?
It was, you know, it was new. It was new, and being a country boy, you know, like you want to see things. So different things, and where we went, it was, they had bunkers from World War II, and, you know, I got to see a whole lot of that. And, but it was, once I got over being homesick, I was fine. I had a ball. You got to be here. You signed up for it. Nobody made you sign. When I first went in the service, I knew it had to be more than us, Bill. It had to be. You know, like, when I first went in the service, I had never rode a Greyhound bus. I had never flown before. I'll never fly again,
it took 52 years to get recognition of this achievement.
Yes, 52 years. And thank God that most of us are still around. You know, like, we're only missing three. Wardell Vini, Coach Webb, and Frank Carter drowned the same summer that we won the state championship. We won the state championship that May, and he drowned, I think, that June or July. And he wasn't but 16. I tell the guys now, if we had stayed at Brookvale, we wouldn't have lost, but, okay, Frank had died. His brother, James Carter, had graduated. But we still had the rest of the team. I do believe that we could have won the championship that next year, too.
When you were a roving teenager, what were some of the places that you used to go to have fun?
Nobody had a car. Nobody had a car, so, like, we used to be about five or six of us, you know, used to hitchhike. Wherever we went, we had to hitchhike. And we used to go down to, like, on a Saturday night, they have a dance at the Churchill's Beach down to Whitestone. And then we had to hitchhike back. And, you know, with that many guys walking, the only person that's going to stop and pick you up is if they have a truck. So most of the time we hitchhiked as far as we could, and then we just walked. And sometimes we used to walk all the way from Lancaster, all the way home. Yeah, and that was in the dark. We wasn't worried about nobody messing with us because it was about five or six of us. After you don't pay that dollar and quarter to get in the dance, you ain't had no money. Got somewhere and people that knew you would ask you to ride home. You know, we got some rides home, but most of the time we used to walk, hitchhike and walk.
That was a long way too.
Oh yes, that was a long. Oh yes, it was. Yes, in the dark. I mean, I'm talking. Let me say the dance just used to be over by 12 o'clock. About 1:30, 2 o'clock, we walking in the dark. Yeah, that's the way it was. So you just had to deal with it.
What do you think about the Northern Neck, you know, having places for young people to go that's easily accessible? I mean, I know they have a entertainment complex out on Irvington Road. But, I mean, where else?
You say, where else? You've been to the new park that they got down in Kilmarnock?
The one that's right across from the post office?
Before the Vibes came around, you know, like, they used to have gospel shows out there. Now, this new place, I haven't been there yet because, like, you know, they tell me that it's kind of too close in there. And with the COVID thing running rampant, you know, like, didn't many people go there, but, like, I haven't gone there yet. I plan to take my grandkids there. It's still not many places to go down here. Sometimes somebody will have a party, but with this COVID thing stopped a whole lot of stuff. Not that many places to go. They got places now, you know, like where at one time we couldn't even go. We had to go around back to get our food and all that. And it's about the sickest bunch of mess I ever heard in my life. You know, like we had to go around back to get our food. We couldn't get into a swimming pool and all that. I just keep an eye on everything because, like, everything that looks good ain't good for you. Things have changed. Like, you got the younger people coming up now. But you still got them old ones with them same ways and everything. They try to hide it, but they can't hide it. You can only hide for so long. But the places that we couldn't go to, now that we can go to them, I don't go to them. I remember we had to go around back to get our food. We couldn't go inside to get our food. And now, they got it so now that you can have parties. If you tell me that you're going to have a party, for instance, Lee's Restaurant.
Oh, yeah.
I don't go there. No, I don't go there. No. We had to go around back to get our food. I don't want nothing to do with it. And they got a place in Lively where the guy said that he used to sit on his car and watch the light.
The baseball field.
Can't go there. Now that ain't nothing going on around here, now they trying to rent it out. I don't want nothing to do with it. No, I'm not going to give you my money now. You wanted to take my money at first, but you didn't want to treat me like a human being, so I don't need you now. So I just leave them alone.
You were referencing the baseball field where y'all had the ceremony to receive your rings. That was segregated, and you're right. It was segregated. Yeah.
We couldn't go there. We could not. And by us being on that field that day, see, like, I had never been on that field. And I said, Lord, look at the field. I would have loved to have played out there. But we just didn't get the chance to. Did not get the chance to.
And all those little kids that was coming out.
Oh, now, I enjoyed that.
They were so sweet.
Because I enjoyed it because this one little white boy, you know, he was fat and everything. I said, he reminded me of me so much. trying to keep up with everybody. But he was running, though. He was running.
And they had little girls on there, and there were black and white kids. It was nice to see.
A whole lot of things have changed. Back in my day, you know, like it was nothing like that. I'm glad that things have changed.
Yeah, for their sake.
I am so glad because if that little white boy was walk running, he was trying to keep up with everybody. I said, look here, that reminds me of me so much. it was all right. That was a nice day.
It was a nice day. Kids were having a great time.
Wasn't it a nice day?
It was a really nice day.
It was a nice day, and like I will never forget it. People keep saying that it's about time. But the thing is, God has a way to bring everything together.
Yeah, because a lot of people did not know. There's a lot of people who did not know this.
That's exactly
and
right.
And we're trying to figure out why did they not announce it? Did they not have a parade? You know, just something. Just trying to understand it. Why?
Hey, when Lancaster won the state championship for basketball, they had ambulances running, sirens going, and police cars leading them into Lancaster and everything. All we had was us. All we had was us. Yes, sir. But it was a nice, it's about time, but it was a nice day.
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoyed myself because I hadn't seen the whole team together in years. They were having a ball.
They were having a great time.
We were standing over in the dugout, team and everything. We were just laughing and carrying on. I said, man, look. And we took pictures and everything. And I got my pictures up on the wall. And I look at them every day.
And they had a really nice article in the Washington Post. It seems, like you said, you know, there's still people who still have those old ideas.
They got those ideals.
And even those little kids that was running around, even though there were a sprinkling of black kids, you know, the majority of them were white kids. And in fact, they had little girls that was on the teams, mixed teams, but they had boy teams and girl teams. You'd be thinking, what are they learning at home? You know, what kind
That's
of stuff is being said around them that will make them change? And the part where we are together will still keep us apart.
I just hope that they're saying the right things around them because, like, now my granddaughter comes from school. You know, she done made new friends and everything. And by their name, I can tell whether they're white or they're black. She's made a lot of white friends. I made some, when I went to Lancaster High School, I did make a couple of good friends. I remember when the first day that we went to the white school, I was sitting outside in my yard, and this guy, this white guy, I used to see him all the time because he used to go past the house all the time. Walter Hawk used to drive a truck, and he stopped one day. He said, do you go to Lancaster? I said, yeah, this will be my first year. Are you playing football? And I said, I played football, but not on a team. And he told me to come on and ride with me, and we go out for the football team. And from that day, I've been knowing Walter Harkham now for a lot of years. I guess that's 71, I guess. He's come by the house and pick me up, bring me back home and everything. And he's the one that got me out for the football team. And, you know, there's a few more, but, like, I had to learn this, that all white people aren't bad. By us coming up during that time, we thought that they had everything and all of them was bad and everything, but all of them aren't bad. And I had to learn that. Most of them didn't have no more than what we had. But you got to learn all that. We always thought that they had so much, but really they didn't. They were just as bad off as we were. When I was coming up, we were buying our house, but there was a lot of white people that was renting. But they had them great big houses. We thought they had so much. They had much. The older ones had put in their head that, well, we're better than them. Now, most of the white kids I see, you know, like, seems to me that they want to be black. I like to sit down and just listen. And I be hearing them talk and everything. And now, we should have been like that back in my day. But it just wasn't that time. Now they seem like they get along okay, no fighting and carrying on and everything. Seem like they're doing fine, and I enjoy talking to them and everything. I tell anybody, never forget where you came from. So I let them know like how it was back then, because I'm sure that a whole lot of them don't know. I let them know like how it was back then, and they seem to like my story. It's not a story. It's the truth. I'm not going to lie to you. It's the truth, but everything will be all right.
Would that be your advice to young people?
Okay, my advice has always been this. Never forget like where you came from. Never. Never forget where you came from. And believe me that if you believe in God, you just carry yourself the way that you're supposed to carry yourself. Don't go looking for trouble. Just go on and do what you're supposed to do, and God will bring you the rest of the way. God will bring you the rest of the way. Don't depend on man for nothing, because man will change. God won't. He'll always be there. So that's why I say that everything's going to be all right.
What's your favorite food from the Northern Neck? Oh, yeah, you know we got to talk about food, Jesse. Come on.
Yeah. Okay, let's see. Well, I don't eat as much anymore, but, like, my favorite food, I just had some before I came out on the deck. Watermelon. Nice, cold watermelon. It won't put no weight on you, and when you eat it cold, it's good.
Mm.
Now, as far as food, let me see. What is it? Fish. But almost everything I eat now is baked. Being older, you know, run your blood pressure up and everything. So fish, baked fish, baked chicken. Most people just can get the crabs, you know. I'm sure you know about this. Eat the crabs, you cook the crab, and you just bust the shell open.
Oh, yeah.
And eat it like that.
Yeah.
See, I never could do that. I never could do that.
And your dad, what was it say, pupwood?
Well, the thing is, see, our parents, my daughter said I'd be thinking up the craziest stuff. It's all true. See, my father did what he had to do. You know, it's in the woods, but most of the time, when the fishermen used to go down south, my father used to do that.
Okay, so he did like what Matt Gaskin is doing, go down to Louisiana.
Yeah.
So your dad did that too. Okay.
Louisiana, Mississippi, and see... And at that time, you know, them men were brave. I got to give it to them. You got a carload of black men going through Georgia and little towns in Georgia and stuff. You could get hung anytime. You know, you could get stopped, and the cops was working with them people. You could get hung anytime, but they were brave enough to go down there, stay 4 or 5 months, come on back home. But that's just how it was. I mean, like, if you wanted to make some money, because you sure wasn't going to make no money around here. No, you wasn't going to make no money, but, like, it went down there. By doing that kind of work, you know, like, they didn't like staying away from home for 5 or 6 months, but they did what they had to do.
You know, there's a lot of men that did that, like Captain Gus Dunaway.
That's right. And them guys had to be brave. I mean, you going through a little town down south, and, you know, and you got a load of black men.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
It was no playing around then. No, because anything could have happened to you. The last time my father went down there, he had a load of men, and he pulled out to pass this car. Well, the car that he had pulled out, that he pulled out from behind, saw that they was trying to pass, and it was another car coming from the other way. Instead of slowing down and let my father in, he speeded up. And for my father to keep from hitting the other car head on, he ran off the road. And he was the only one that got killed.
Your father?
Yeah. That happened in 1970. My father been dead now for about 50 years, I think, or more.
Jesse, I didn't know that.
I was 17 at the time. And we had just won the championship. We go to our kids and say, you know, I love you and everything, you know. Well, parents didn't do that at that time. We knew how they felt, but they wouldn't say it. At our May Day that year that we won the championship, when I hit that ball and I came off the field, my father came to me and said, "Boy, you really hit that ball." And he looked like he was so proud of me. And I felt so good. And I will never forget that. I will never forget it.
Well, you just told me something. I'm floored. I don't even know what to say after that.
I got a couple of tears running myself, but I don't know. He looked like he was so proud of me, and I will never forget it.
We did come from the same cloth because it's like you say, black parents, they didn't tell their children, they didn't say the words, you know, of I love you. I guess they probably went in the vein that the fact that we have a roof over your head and you got food
to eat,
clothes on your back, and, you know, we haven't killed you, even though they do make you go down the woods and get a switch, get that switch, or, you know, just the fear of just you walking in the house, which was not only fear, but respect, too. We respected them. The things that stand in your mind is when they finally look at you and smiling with pride.
It is,
as you say, the things you will never forget.
I will never. And I tried to tell my sister about that, and she just told me, boy, just shut up. Because she started crying. I said, well, at least we knew that our parents loved us. They never said the word. That same year we won the championship, the coach said, now y'all got to have spike, and we can order the spike, but they cost $10. I said, Lord. At that time, $10 was a lot of money. $10 was a lot of money.
Still is.
No kidding. But back then, $10? Oh, man, $10. And I came home and I told my mother, I said, Lord, I said, I need $10. For what? To get some spikes. So she told my father, and lo and behold, that within 3 days, she came to me with $10. I was shocked because, like I said, $10 back then was a lot of money. And they took $10 out of our little budget to get me them spikes. And that's another thing I'll never forget. Well, Pixie, it was nice talking to you.
It was nice talking to you, Jesse.
Yes, ma'am.
I look forward to seeing you, and I hope that's very soon.
Okay, you take care.
You too, man.
Okay, bye.
Bye. If there was one thing I took away from talking to Jesse, is we must be a team. We must help everyone to score, to reach the goal of community unity and achievements, because we are being black on the Northern Neck. The music by Robert A. Hall. This program is in memory of the twins, Wardell and Moselle Carter, two men who embodied compassion and conviction and are very much loved. Thank you for listening.